This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Rebound, Drew Holiday, 4 seconds to go. Kick out Jaylen. Can they get to him to commit the foul? They cannot, and it's over. It's over. The Boston Celtics swarm the floor.
Sean Grandy on Celtics Radio, and the Celtics sweep the Pacers. They are into the NBA Finals. Andrew Perloff, good morning. This is the moment for the Celtics. How many more chances are you realistically going to get? I know they are a good team. They're always in the mix in the Tatum and Brown era. But you're looking at most likely the Dallas Mavericks on the other side who have a 3-0 lead on the Minnesota Timberwolves. If you are the Boston Celtics, this is the time. If you're getting banner number 18, it has to be this year.
Well, yes, unless one in the next 6 or 7 years where they win the East, they can pull off. What are you talking about? Why this year? What I understand what you're saying. There's a lot of pressure here to win if you're the Celtics, but you're clearly going back next year. This is the Eastern Conference. Look at who they just had to beat.
I know, but look at that.
Is there anyone else coming to the East that I don't know about?
Okay, but they will tell you or people will tell you that what the Celtics have done is not that impressive because the people they went through and also the injuries that those teams had. You don't know that Giannis is going to be hurt next year. You don't know that Joel Embiid is
going to get
hurt
next year. I know the coach of the
Bucks
well, I know. Oh, Joel Embiid, I do know as a fact. A fact, as much as I know my own name is Andrew Perloff, that Joel Embiid is going to get hurt next year. Of course he's going to get hurt next year.
You never know what Miami has up their sleeve.
I mean, how long could that party
last? To pencil yourself in for the finals again. It's one thing to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's great. You get a nice participation trophy for that if you're the Boston Celtics with their kind of history. You know, you can be the Indiana Pacers. You make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and people are like, wow, ahead of schedule. Look at you. Great season. You make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, the Celtics, and people say, yeah, we know. We expect you to be there. Now you've got to get to the finals. This is the toughest spot for a team to be in, one where you have all the expectations and the weight of the world on you. They're going to get Kristaps Porzingis back. They have 9 days until the finals start. There's no excuse here for the Celtics. This has got to be it.
Except, there is, I think, in most NBA fans' mind, a seed of doubt about the Celtics team. Who is a mentally tougher team? You might say the Celtics have more talent. You might say they're the best team. But I think a lot of people out there think the Luka-Kyrie combo is a lot tougher than the Jaylen Brown-Jason Tatum combo. It almost is like the other players on the Celtics are going to have to carry those two in a big moment. Because what do we know about the Celtics in the finals? We know about their collapse against the Warriors. And I'm not sure a lot of people have gotten over that. So, I think in a lot of people's, a lot of fans' minds, that is the Celtics team, the team that collapsed against the Warriors. Tatum will not show up, and Jaylen Brown will turn the ball over.
Okay, but see, again, that's where this is the moment for the Celtics, because you have that in your not-so-distant memory, because that was the 2022 finals. You have that to build on, to learn from, and you're telling me that, you know, listen, Tatum Brown, but it's not just about them. Drew Holiday has been a phenomenal addition to this team. Yeah. And honestly, he could have won the, whatever you call it, Larry Brown Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to, because the point totals for Tatum and Brown were like 30 each, basically, that they averaged in this series. But Drew Holiday, very fitting that he ends and they close out the series with him with a steal, because that's been him. So you have the defensive firepower with Derek White and everyone on the team, basically on the Celtics defense. And if you're going to go mentally tough here, Tatum Brown, I know there's scar tissue, but versus Luka and Kyrie, we've got the evidence with Kyrie Irving that he's a big time player. But
oh my God.
Luka hasn't won.
Luka's trash talking his way to the finals. First of all, and it's not Kyrie, it's Luka saying something to Rudy Gobert. It's Luka saying something to Anthony Edwards. That's where the mental toughness is. You don't think, if you could get to Rudy Gobert, he's easy. But if you could get to Edwards, why on earth do you think Luka's not going to say something in half Slovenian, half English and get to Jason Tatum? That's why if I'm the Celtics and I have all these brilliant assistant coaches who are all getting jobs, I am making sure that you keep Jason Tatum out of earshot from Luka Doncic, who I think is emerging as a Larry Bird-like trash talker. Like, I think he's getting in people's heads, and that's why he's dominating the end of the games. I just worry about that. On paper, everything you say is right. This is the year for the Celtics. They have all-stars everywhere. Yeah. They're getting Porzingis back. None of that's going to matter if they're not mentally ready for the moment. And that's what I'm really worried about for this team. Because what you're right, Drew Holiday is a huge difference. I love what you said about that. That's
yeah,
what
he's mentally tough. He's a champion.
Yes, but Drew Holiday alone cannot do that. You're going to need a lot of Tatum and a lot of Brown. You're going to need their A games to beat Dallas, and I am not sure they're going to deliver that A game.
Interesting. 855-212-4227. You see this as more a mental game. I see it more as a matchup game, and I'm seeing, if you're asking me, you know, who's going to guard Kyrie and who's going to guard Luka, which is things that the Timberwolves are still trying to figure out as they're down 0-3, you have a lot of options here if you're the Celtics. You really do, I think, because you have Drew Holiday who can cover Kyrie Irving, and then pick your name the rest of the guys who could cover Luka Doncic. You can throw waves at guys at him if you don't just want to give it to Tatum or give it to Brown.
Give me a name. Who's covering him?
I'll tell you why. I think Derek White probably is.
No, Derek White is slow and small. Luka will own Derek White.
I don't think so. I think that if Derek White isn't working, then put Tatum on him.
Tatum will get 5,030 seconds on Luka.
Then the Celtics have been this awesome defensive team all year. It's not like they just flipped a switch. This is who they are.
I just worry about, and I do really worry about Tatum in foul trouble with Luka. Can't you see him getting a couple easy calls and taking him out of his offensive game? Luka's a problem. He's just a problem he's too fast for big men and he's too big for guards. The question, here's the main problem. If you watch this T-Wolves series against Mavs, right? It seems like every point they're like, oh, the T-Wolves are like, let's switch Kat or Rudy Gobert onto Kyrie Irving. That's a smart plan. Like, what are you doing, you lazy T-Wolves? It's unbelievable. So the Celtics are going to do everything they can not to let, if Kyrie Irving gets Al Horford on an island, don't even play out the play. Just hand 2 points to the Mavs. So I think the Celtics have to avoid getting their big men in space. That's what the big problem with the T-Wolves is. They've gotten these two clunky big men out by the three-point line, and the Mavs are just cooking them. So it's a team game, but I worry about Luka specifically because I'll be honest, I'm not a huge Mavs fan. I don't like this mid-range. I'm sick of seeing 8-foot jumpers. I like a different style of basketball.
Okay.
Dribble, 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 dribble. Luka's got a guy on his hip, 7-foot jumper, bang.
Okay, like, but it's been a lot more passing. You got to give them some credit.
Oh, God. Are you kidding me? It's dribble, dribble, dribble. Kyrie, dribble, 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 cook somebody. Luka, dribble, 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 cook somebody.
How is PJ Washington having this great series? How do we even know these other guys? It's not like that. I think that's an old stereotype about what Luka was playing like. And I don't think he's playing like that.
His usage
series.
Numbers are, I'm sure I don't have them.
Oh, the
still
usage
huge.
Numbers are huge, but he is giving the ball up.
He definitely is, but his game is just like a plotting, I'm going to just back you down or I'm going to get you on the outside. It's a very one-on-one oriented game.
He's strong.
He's ridiculous. He's impossible to stop. I've been staying up at night diagramming plays. Maggie, I can't figure out how to stop him. The Celtics, you know, it's interesting. They have a week. I am sure they're going to go to the lab and say, how do we stop this guy? And I'm really curious what defense they throw at him.
I think you're going to see a lot. I don't think it's just going to be one thing.
Yeah.
And I think that the Celtics do have the bodies. And again, you know, we talk about, oh, the Celtics, you know, they made it through the Eastern Conference. Eastern Conference was down. They were, hit everybody when they had players who were out, including Tyrese Haliburton, who didn't play in the last two games, even though they were tight, close games. Well, they didn't have Porzingis. Celtics haven't had one of their big stars from this year and one of their big weapons, and now they're going to get him back. So it's not like everyone's been at full strength.
Yeah, although Porzingis is another thing. Like, do they really want Porzingis on the court? Because the Mavs are going to pick on him as well. It's a catch 22 with these big guys.
Yeah, but you know, Porzingis, there's a reason why Kevin Durant called him the unicorn, right? He does have a different type of skill set than what the Timberwolves bigs have. And I know Karl Anthony Towns is a 3-point shooter, but he can't hit the ocean right now.
Yeah, I just worry about defensively, like these big Rudy Gobert being the defensive player of the year is the ultimate irony of the NBA.
Yeah, it's not aging well in this series.
No, it's not aging well. And they had to take him off the court last year in the playoffs. I mean, it's just a general problem that the voters for this dumb award can't figure out. If you're a rim protector, you got to stay near the rim. Otherwise, you're in trouble. So it feels like the Mavs have a solution for everything. You have to admit, okay, getting past the Timberwolves is a much more impressive feat than sweeping the Pacers.
Is. It is. Because Tyrese Haliburton was out these last two games, and I love what's going on in our chat right now. Up and early, and Adam, I should say, If you want to watch the show, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. Our own Andrew Kaplan said, Celtics just got burned by Andrew Nembhard. Luka going for 50 every night. But you know what? That's a strategy. That could also be a strategy, which is let Luka do his thing, try to shut down Kyrie Irving, and try to shut down and handle everyone else. And maybe that's a strategy that the Celtics try to use for a game and see if it works. All right, let Luka get his. And then 50 points, that's impressive. It's not going to win you a game.
Well, it doesn't. Luka doesn't do anything until the last 8 minutes of the game. You can do whatever you want to Luka. Luka has not missed a shot in the last 3 minutes of a game since I can't remember.
Okay,
so he's going to cook you at the end. That's the problem. Don't keep it close. Because the Mavs are going to, you know, the Mavs seem like a very, very solid late game team, especially because of Luka. Luka does not feel pressure. He's got sort of that Eli Manning thing going on.
Right, right.
Get the last 2 minutes, he wants the ball so badly, where I just don't know if the Celtics have that guy.
Well, I think they might now, because look what they did last night. Even if you don't think the Pacers were a worthy opponent, right?
I don't.
Okay. They kept them from scoring for 3.5 minutes last night at the end of the game in a closeout. The Pacers.
Yeah, Aaron Nesmith missed a jumper. I mean, come on.
That's still impressive. They're still NBA players.
No. There was nothing to me that was impressive about the series, because once Halliburton went out, I feel like the Pacers were not themselves. So, I don't take anything from...
There were some close games and tight games where I think if Rick Carlisle calls it... Let's be honest. Pacers did win game one. So let's not all forget that. If they can inbound the ball, they actually win game one. And I think they should have won game three, too. And the reason why I say that is because, I mean, listen, Rick Carlisle is a great coach. He knows more basketball than we'll ever know. I get that. But I didn't understand why you wouldn't call a timeout for the final possession there. It's one thing, that's you. You don't want the Celtics to get their defense set. You're this high-octane offense, but you're missing your best player. You know, organize, run a play. But again, that's me, and I was not second-guessing this. I first-guessed this. I would always call timeout. If that was, I'm a coach, I don't trust it, and I'm sure that would burn me. But I'm also a foul-up three person, so I'm a little more conservative in sort of how I look at basketball.
T-Wolves, same thing, too. That's a definite also call a timeout. But I mean, so you're somewhat impressed by beating the Pacers.
I'm impressed by the Celtics, period, full stop. I'm impressed by, listen, you can say they haven't played anybody. They've also only lost two games in the postseason. It's not like they're going seven games with lesser talent.
I am not impressed. To me, none of this carries over against Dallas. 12-2 against this particular Heat team, this Cavs team, and this Pacers team says next to nothing to me. Like, none of these teams would have a chance in the West. So, yeah, the Celtics definitely could win the series. Don't get me wrong. They're a great team, but they have not seen anything like this. This is an incredible step up in competition. Honestly, this Pacers team probably wouldn't be here if the Knicks could have stayed relatively healthy. Let's be honest.
Yeah, sure. Okay, that's fine. But I don't know if the Nuggets actually get past the Timberwolves. Are the Mavericks here? Are the Mavericks on a 3-0 lead? So we can say that about each side. We could say that about the different matchups and what kind of, you know, path to the final. And here we are. EJ, you say this is going to be a sweep. You said you're going to get smoked in the finals. Is this for the Boston Celtics?
That's for the Celtics, as a Knicks salty Knicks fan.
It's
happy
personal.
That the Indiana Pacers are out. I want to see if Halliburton wore he wore a nice sweater yesterday. It was not the Reggie Miller choke sweater. I think he's going to put that away for a little while. So as a Knicks fan, I was happy to see the Pacers get dispatched very quickly. Now for the Celtics, all right, now I need them to go home as a Knicks fan. I don't get any Celtics celebrations here in New York either.
I thought you said that Halliburton looked terrible. We just had this
Being nice on the air.
He looked like a hip Mr. Rogers in game three.
Halliburton never looks good in the outfit.
Oh, I love his. He looks like
a hip Mr. Rogers.
Yeah,
who aspires for that?
These sweaters he's wearing probably cost $3,000. I mean, they are, you know, maybe they're not for everyone, but he looks like a sort of like, oh man, that professor can play some basketball. He's wearing these little dirty glasses. I love Halliburton's look.
Oh my God. What is this, Pearl? Are you serious? I'm looking at this picture again. It's too big.
Are we talking about a red sweater vest? What are you guys talking about?
He's wearing a yellow.
He wore like a Pacers yellow,
like
cardigan.
LaCosta cardigan, but it's too big. And he tucked in the sweater. In a sweater inside a khaki.
Well, you know who.
Next level.
Jim Harbaugh.
Next level.
I know.
Called the Harbaugh. All right. I think we had a couple things here for you. One, are you impressed at all by what the Celtics have done? They just swept their way into the finals, the NBA finals. Does that mean nothing to you? Are you not entertained?
Yeah.
And then secondly, is it going to be more mental when it comes to the Celtics winning this finals, or is it actually about the matchups? You think it's more mental than anything.
I just felt so bad for poor Rudy Gobert. When Luka's talking trash as he's about to put the game-winning three in his face.
Yeah.
What do you think Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown can hold up to that kind of confidence? That's what I worry about. I think the Celtics are a better team. I think the mental edge might go to Luka and Kyrie.
I mean, if you are this far into your NBA career as Tatum and Brown and you get thrown off because of trash talk, I mean, that's ridiculous.
I mean, come on. You know
it's ridiculous.
This. You know this happens, Maggie.
Tatum went to Duke. I mean, what do you think? Everyone's probably on you from that moment, and he now plays for the Celtics. Like, the Kyrie thing, that's definitely going to be a storyline because the Kyrie, how it ended in Boston, he asked for a trade to go there. It couldn't have gone worse. It ended horribly. It's continued on where he was playing with the Nets, giving people the finger and wiping his feet on the mascot. And there's a deep dislike between Kyrie Irving and the city of Boston and vice versa. But besides that, you really think trash talk is going to get these guys off their game?
Luka has got that Joker thing. He grew up overseas. Like, he doesn't care. He has no intimidation of the finals. He reminds me much of Joker. Like, you are not going to see his blood pressure go up at all on this stage. He's going to have no problem with this.
He's screaming like a maniac out there.
He's not going to feel any pressure at all. And I could tell, you know, it's just different. It's just, I mean, you think he's going to, does he look nervous to you? You don't think Tatum and Brown are going to be nervous for this series? They definitely are. All the weight of the world is on them. It's going to be hard for them to play their A game. I think Luka has nothing but A game at this point. He'll miss a bunch of shots, but he's still going to have all the confidence in the world. I really worry that Jason Tatum, I know what you're saying. He's been in the league a long time, but do you really feel like he's 100% locked in confidence-wise? I do not.
855-212-4227. So we can throw that up on the socials. You are welcome to watch the show. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. SiriusXM. Channel 158 is another great way to listen to the show. We've heard there may be some issues on the app this morning, so we're trying to get that all worked out. The absolutely free to download and crystal clear Odyssey app. Listen, not immune. Sometimes the ones and zeros get a little crossed. We're told on our affiliate lines, you are able to listen. So some big affiliates that have us, San Francisco, Seattle, Atlanta, all of those affiliates you can find, you can listen to us crystal clear. That's just to name a few. Again, 855-212-4227. Maggie and Perloff coming up. Got a question for you about one of the big stars in sports. Get to that next.
There we go, a little Grateful Dead to honor the memory of Bill Walton, who passed away at 71, sadly. I think it's been really interesting to see the whole sports world react. Hall of Fame player, Hall of Fame broadcaster, someone who we got to interview, both of us have. He was all around the Dan Patrick Show a lot because he knew Dan pretty well.
Sure.
I'd seen him over the years in person at different things. Incredible life, just a totally unique journey. Not like any other athlete. I think that is one thing that we can all say about Bill Walton with confidence.
Yeah, people keep saying, you know, things like one of a kind and icon and legend, and we sometimes overuse those words. It really does apply, though, to Bill Walton. I heard Rick Carlisle, who played with Walton on the 85-86 Celtics team, say he's like history, like walking around amongst us, you know? It's like he's like an event that was just walking around. And we got to tap in a little bit into, like, Bill Walton's positivity. I always am so impressed with people. We can talk about the basketball, and that speaks for itself. And an MVP and a Sixth Man of the Year and winning the two titles at UCLA and all that. But the people who personally are dealing with something that is so devastating, his foot injuries, the back injuries, you know, admitting that he was contemplating suicide because he was in so much pain from his multiple back surgeries and things like that, and yet to be so positive for other people. I'm always so impressed and amazed by that, because when you're living that day to day in that type of pain, you don't want to be positive, let alone to pick up other people.
Yeah.
And he was relentlessly positive. You and I did get a chance to interview him most recently in Houston at the Final Four. And, those were unique interviews.
Yeah.
You would prep like 10, 20 questions for Bill Walton and get two questions in.
Interview is not the word. Exactly.
Yes.
You know, I was thinking, I saw him in 2001, or no, it was 2002. I was at the San Diego Super Bowl because the Eagles were supposed to be there. I was working for the NFL at the time. And this guy, this gigantic guy, rides up on his bike. And we said, hey, you want to, we were doing a shoot. And he said, hey, do you want to get in? And he's like, no, I honestly, I can't. My back is in so much pain today. I can't get off the bike. Oh. And that's one thing you notice about him, too, how he handled himself. Like, that was a very serious issue. You're absolutely right. Like, he could have gone into self-pity. And the fact that he came out on the other side of that and was of service, and the great documentary about his life, yep, and how he came out the other side, is really an inspiration. I had no idea he was sick. I think the cancer diagnosis hit us all by surprise. I really did not expect to see any kind of headline like this.
No.
Because he's as a broadcaster, he's been full of life the last few years. He's been super funny and interesting and different and just pure Bill Walton.
Absolutely. He was calling the Final Four for Westwood One. I mean, the last 4 years, ever since John Thompson passed away, and he took that over. And so if you're a huge radio fan, which you might be if you're listening to the show and listening to us, I mean, you always left like a Bill Walton interview, like, man, what was that? That was great. And then you listen back, you're like, oh, that it was, it's the feeling of it, you know? And then also think about it, even today, this would not happen. He's went to over 850 dead shows. Like, imagine being synonymous also with, like, you know, this one of the all-time bands, Americana, and that was such a big part of his life too. So, you know, for those who want to remember Bill Walton, you're welcome to do so. We're asking you what part of his big life, larger than life, will you remember most about Walton? Is it the UCLA days? Is it the NBA, although that was shortened, but man, he really maximized what he was able to get out of a very short NBA career because of injuries. Is it the broadcasting? Is it the Grateful Dead? So many things. 855-212-4227.
I know he took a title away from my town, and the Sixers were up. I've seen many, many highlights of the series. The Sixers were up 2-0 on the Blazers, and he took over.
Yep.
And it was 1977. I think people don't know, he was like a key, he was like Kareem. Like, he was dominant, and he could pass the ball, kind of like Jokic does now. He was really, really good. That kind of stinks, because Dr. J should have won his first title, but Bill Walton got in the way.
Yeah,
so a bit of a sport. Anyone won with the Celtics, which I don't like either, but I'm willing to look past all that. But that's out of respect for him as a player. I don't think everyone knows that he was dominant. I mean, dominant, like all-time great.
Well, it's funny, because if you were just going by numbers, especially by today's standards, you'd be like, he won the MVP and is averaging 19 points a game and 13 rebounds. It's like, it's not these blow you away numbers, but that's where the sort of magic of Bill Walton was, right? He was the intellectual basketball player, the passing, as you mentioned, like Jokic. And then when he got with Larry Bird, it was like, I mean, no wonder that was such a dominant team, the Celtics 85-86. Jack McCallum, who chronicled a lot of Bill Walton's career, is going to join us at the 9 o'clock Eastern hour. 855-212-4227. So remember Bill Walton. Jay is in Nashville, has a thought on the Western Conference Finals. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning. I'm still at work, so sorry if you hear some noise in the background. But as far as Bill Walton, I mean, I'm from Tucson, so, you know, we enjoyed having his son at the University of Arizona. And I'm not old enough to remember his playing career. The main thing I remember from his playing career, when he threw the shoe at the rim to stop, you know, the block ball or whatever, which is funny. I don't know what to me. But I remember about him, he's the big picture guy like me. You know, you can tell he's not a care in the world, because he's too busy looking at the big picture. And that's what I'll probably always remember about Bill Walton and everything. But as far as the Western Conference Finals, as far as Kyrie, I mean, and I was one of the ones getting on him, you know, dogging him out and everything. And I'm just, you know, calling to give an apology to him. Because, you know, it's good to see, like, somebody finally land on their feet. And it seems like that's what's going on with Kyrie, which is kind of a good thing to watch. I mean, he really does look like, okay, I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't hear any weird stuff. I don't know, complaining. But it's not what we're not hearing from him. It's just what you see, how he's playing and how he's, you know, he's playing with his team. Seem like they all enjoy each other. It doesn't seem like there's some kind of friction and stuff like that.
Jay, this is amazing that you're calling in while you're on the floor. What are you zipping in?
Is that a power drill? I feel like I hear a power drill.
Yeah, I'm putting together. Okay, I'm on one side, I'm putting together the manifolds for the Nissan Murano, and then on the other side, I'm putting together the manifolds for the Nissan Pathfinder and the I forget the other one that we're doing, too. We got three different trucks that we're doing over here.
Okay.
We only got a couple more manifolds. I'll put together a couple more manifolds. Sorry about that.
No, this is amazing. We get to, we love when we get to hear from our listeners and to get to dip in a little bit to what you're doing. And I drive a Nissan. So how about that?
Come on, I call you guys like when I'm shopping at Costco. You can hear the shopping cart in the background.
When you're in the drive-thru for Mickey D's getting a McGriddle.
Yeah.
You're the best.
Yeah, we're cops with the guns drawn and everything. I'm yelling at the cops like, get out of the way. Let me get to my McGriddle. You know what I mean?
Well, that was epic morning when there was, I think, some kind of bank robbery or something going on.
No, somebody at a hotel was trying to shoot somebody else.
Oh,
and the police was out with, like, rifles. They weren't even having handguns. It was the weirdest thing, but I was worried about my McGriddle and everything. But, hey, one more thing.
Yeah.
One more thing.
Sure.
Like, I know it's going to be Dallas and Boston. I'm a lifelong Boston hater. You know what I mean? But, I mean, lifelong Celtics hater. You know, I always want to visit Boston. So I don't want to, like, say something bad and get jumped as soon as I get off the plane. But
Donnie Wahlberg's actually waiting at Logan Airport to kick your ass.
Nah, Bill Burr's going to be waiting on me. Just a bust on me, like, the whole time I'm in Boston. But, to me, it's going to be, like, a boring finals with these two teams. But, and I don't even think the Boston – I think the Boston crowd's going to know better not to mess with Kyrie, because you see what happened when Anthony Edwards tried to call him out.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, you know what I mean? You might want to leave him alone. You know what I mean? Don't,
Jay,
you know,
it's
some
a great,
people just don't mess with.
It's a great point. Go back to to your shift. You're almost done. Thank you for checking in. You know that we love hearing your perspective on stuff. Jay's in Nashville.
Wait, so he's on a line that's building a car.
Yeah.
That's his new job.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's like, we know Jay, like he's always working towards something bigger, you know.
So somebody's car, someone's going to eventually drive a Nissan that he's making right now and he's distracted breaking down the matchups in the finals. That worries me just a little bit.
Yeah, that's the car I want.
He's a multitasker, guys.
He's doing two manifolds at once. And first of all, I had to Google what a manifold was. Does everyone know that? A manifold, I thought it was like a little wallet that like a man carried with money in it.
Like a Mercy.
Like a billfold, but a manifold. I had no idea. He said it like we're not car people necessarily, but does everyone know what a manifold is?
Wait, you looked it up, so tell us what it is.
A manifold is... I lost it already. Okay, what is a manifold? A manifold is the automated context and a crucial component that plays a pivotal role in your car's engine. Has something to do with the way the fuel and the air come in.
Yeah, it's important. I would 100% drive any car that Jay put together. He's one of the smartest people we have calling our show. Phil says that Nissan's only going to go in reverse.
You're going to hit D and it's going to go straight backwards?
Well, there's a Nissan recall, so we know the blame.
We traced it back to our Nashville plant. On the morning of May 28th.
Oh, no.
On the podcast version of Maggie and Perlo, there's a man who's on the assembly line who called in to complain about Jason Tatum.
6:32 a.m. Eastern.
We got a subpoena for the air checks of 6:20 to 6:40 a.m. Eastern. Could you cut that for us then?
All I can say is thank God he's not in Seattle making airplanes for Boeing.
What show do they listen to?
Yeah, something.
No, Jay's awesome. He's listening to like the Stoics on his Audible. Jay's great. We're not worried about Jay at all. You heard Andrew Bogish. He's here. He's got headlines for us.
Those headlines are sponsored.
I'm worried about Jay. I'm worried about the car.
Yeah. Well, on that note, headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Double up. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle.
There
get
you
a
go.
Quote at progressive.com. And now they wait. The Celtics are back in the NBA Finals for the second time in 3 years, and Game 1 isn't until next Thursday. Derek White doesn't mind.
Every series we've had a little bit of a break in between, so we understand what we need to do, and we're going to lock in, and we're going to do whatever it takes to get four more wins.
They keep having breaks because they keep ending series quickly, this time sweeping the Pacers 105-102 in Indy last night. White hit the tie-breaking three with 43 seconds left in Boston's latest last-minute rally, this time holding the Pacers scoreless for the final 3.5 minutes to turn a 102-98 hole into that 105-102 clincher. Indy head coach Rick Carlisle.
The level of fight was... just tremendous all the way through this. circumstance never fazed them one way or the other. They were in this to win every possession that they could and any game that they could.
Except for the last 46 minutes. His team played again without Tyrese Halliburton and his hamstring. Andrew Nembhard scored 24, hitting out 10 assists. Jaylen Brown named series MVP after 29 more points for Boston. Jason Tatum adding 26 with 13 rebounds and 8 assists. So now they wait on the Mavericks and T-Wolves. Their game 4 in Dallas tonight, with those Mavs thinking about a sweep. Dallas big Derek Lively is doubtful with the neck sprain he suffered in game 3.
Quick question about the Pacers and being totally serious here. Do you think they go the way more of the Atlanta Hawks from a couple of years ago, where Eastern Conference Finals running and we kind of never hear from them? Or is this a team that you think will be kind of in the mix in the East moving forward?
Oh, can I go first?
Yeah.
Atlanta Hawks.
Okay.
But you don't think the East is great? Because you're like, well, Giannis is going to get hurt and Bede's going to get hurt. So who's going to be their big competition?
I'll tell you right now. Put me out on the court, I will cook Andrew Nembhard.
Yeah, I didn't know. I mean, the Knicks will be formidable, but you don't believe in, you know, rattled them off. I said the Heat, I said the Bucks, I said the 76ers.
Yeah, I don't believe in
them all.
I don't believe in any of them, but I don't think this Indiana team, as they're currently built, are ready for a real deep run. I just think they got ahead of themselves this year just by the way the matchups fell. I don't think that they're going to be able to do it. Do you?
I think people keep doubting the Pacers, and they keep proving us wrong. So I'm not willing to say that. Plus, they should have some money to work with this offseason, and now the Pacers may be a way more desirable place to go. I mean, they could have some moves this offseason to make them a lot better.
Okay.
And do we think they have a Trae Young problem? Like, is there a weird chemistry dynamic thing brewing in Indiana? Because isn't that part of the Hawks' problem?
But I think the Hawks' problem is lack of overall talent. I'm not sure. Are Atlanta, you think it's a chemistry problem more than a talent problem?
I mean, this is what the second or third trade offseason they're going to explore, trying to break up something, right? Whether they trade Trey or they trade DeJounte Murray. They've already changed head coaches. Like, Rick Carlisle is not going to get fired in Indiana.
Yeah, I could be totally wrong about Indiana, but I just don't see this the way they're built right now. Like, Miles Turner is a defensive liability, just like every other big man in the NBA. Siakam, like, you guys love Siakam. Siakam's effective. But for some reason, Siakam doesn't scare me. Like, the 76ers could have traded for Siakam. And honestly, he's great when no one's focusing on him. I'm not sure I see it, unless Halliburton really takes the next step. If Halliburton becomes this unstoppable star, but is he built like that? I just don't see the Pacers getting to the finals.
I kind of agree with Pearl. I think that this is a really nice team. I think they'll disappear like the Hawks. I think they're a perennial playoff team. But it does feel like they're going to need another big star in order for them to kind of make that next level. Because we, you know, seeing Siakam, and he's your kind of number one option, I just can't see him beating those top guys in the Eastern Conference year in, year out.
Is there any way that, like, a Donovan Mitchell or another, right, like, star gets to Indiana?
Well, again, maybe it's a way more attractive destination now that they made it to the finals of the in-season tournament, which I know everyone around here hates except for EJ, and then also made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, it's not nothing.
I think one small X factor could be if Ben Mathurin somehow turns into something.
Because
he was hurt and he didn't get to play and he was their lottery pick. I mean, maybe he's the guy that's missing. I don't know.
What else you got, Bo?
Well, I don't want to celebrate somebody's exit, but Angel Hernandez is retiring.
Oh, you can celebrate.
Baseball's most infamous umpire, done after 32 seasons, thousands of games, and many of your least favorite calls. Hernandez and MLB had reportedly been discussing a financial settlement for weeks. That's now done. He has not worked since May 9th. On the field yesterday, somebody finally cooled off the Guardians.
Another 1-2. And Charlie drops his ball to deep right. Brennan going back. And it's gone. 3-run home run. Chuck Nasty. Second of the year. And the Rockies now lead it 7-4.
That's from Rockies TV. Charlie Blackmon's 3-run shot capping off a 6-run fourth, which sent Colorado to an 8-6 win over Cleveland, ending their 9-game run.
By the way, a quick correction on the Angel Hernandez stat, that he has not worked since 1998.
He's been trying to get out of games, catch flights. I mean, it's so obvious.
Take
when
a
in a game. It's like, oh, Angel's got a dinner reservation. That's why he just called strike three on a pitch that's in freaking Omaha. Nice.
The Dallas Stars took a 2-1 lead on the Oilers with a 5-3 win in Edmonton last night. Jason Robertson, a hat trick, including the tie-breaking goal mid-third period. Notre Dame with a repeat in men's lacrosse with a 15-5 rout of Maryland in the title game in Philly yesterday. And Mike Tyson's apparently fine after a health scare on a Miami to L.A. flight yesterday. A Tyson rep says he got nauseous and dizzy right before landing because of an ulcer flare-up. Paramedics came on board to treat Tyson when the plane landed. Now, there were rumors the flight had delayed takeoff because of Tyson, but his camp says that's not true. It was an AC problem separate from this quote-unquote health scare.
Man, nothing worse than a hot airplane, but go ahead.
Also, Disney doesn't sound like guys should be boxing anybody.
No. Yeah, you got ulcer flare-ups. I don't know how good that'd be to then take several body blows, potentially, from Jake Paul.
Wait, did you say when the fight's July 20th? Is that...
It is about seven weeks from now?
Yeah, it's July.
Yeah, that's a long way to go for Mike Tyson.
I mean, guy's in his late 50s. Like, there's a reason why we're not really boxing at that age anymore.
Yeah.
Because he got, calamities, maladies. I don't know.
And his body, obviously, has probably seen a lot through the years.
You
long
think?
Career. I'm trying to be nice
Tyson's
here.
Mike Tyson's been through a couple things.
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah, I feel bad for him because I don't have ulcers, but I can't imagine how painful that is. And anytime something goes down on an airplane, you're trapped. You know, what are you going to do? Have you guys ever been on a plane when they get on the announcement and ask if there's any doctors on the plane?
Has that happened to you? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, and it took like 4 announcements before someone was like, I'm a nursing student. I was like, this person is screwed. Well, I mean, the guy ended up being okay, I guess, but it was terrible. You just hope that's not you.
Yeah, that sounds like my worst nightmare.
Because what are the odds that someone's like, yes, I won the emergency room at Massachusetts General. Like, that's right, not right. happening. You're
and
getting
I have all my equipment.
Yeah, right. Well, you're getting the nursing student.
Wasn't that a Curb episode where Larry's sitting next to a guy who he knows is a doctor?
And he won't say
it. And the guy, he's like, why won't you say you're a doctor? And he's like, I'm not on the clock. Whatever. That was funny.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was a great Curb episode.
I don't remember. Doesn't Pete feel very strongly about Tyson or Jake Paul in this fight?
Yeah, Tyson's going to kick his ass. I don't care if he's
ulcer 90. Ulcer or not?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was with Pete, but this scared me a little
Take
bit.
Take a punch from Mike Tyson and then tell me he's going to lose, all right?
I might owe Maggie an apology.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
Well, I was very early being like, this is not going to end well for him.
I didn't think we were going to make it to the fight. And
True.
I'm still kind of thinking about that.
Owe Maggie an apology for this one. This
too
is
big
not
of a payday
good.
For Tyson not to make it to the fight. But
no, I think the issue is making it to the fight. I think that's a real question now. Once he's in the ring, maybe that old magic comes back. I'll bet anyone here on Paul.
And I win. He's the favorite.
I'll win if Tyson doesn't make it to the fight.
Yeah. I've got too many bets going on right now. I gotta keep. Yeah.
Still thinking about my gasser, so I'm good.
Yeah, it's rough. Roughly.
I feel like I could get Pete here because he's got overconfidence in Mike Tyson.
I can get him.
I don't bet on 51-year-olds.
Oh, no. How does this work? How do you go take a punch from Tyson? I don't really bet on 51-year-olds. Plus, he's 58.
It's very different.
Yeah, I was like, how old is he? Was I wrong about that? Yeah. He's 57. He'll be 58 for the fight.
You can't have those two sentences back to back.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that could happen. I'm saying if he gets into that ring, he is going to knock him out.
Okay, so bet that.
I'm not betting that.
Why?
Well, because I just said.
You just said you're getting to knock him out.
Me.
I am listening. That's why I'm confused.
There's a lot
you
of
should
ifs.
Listen to you.
A lot of ifs going on. But
I'm not going to bet on something that who knows if it's going to make it to the ring because of various circumstances.
It also is boxing, so he could somehow win but still lose.
It's not like TKO is sponsoring this or a major company is sponsoring this.
Apparently, it's a sanctioned fight, which is a shame on the people in Texas sanctioning this for that boxing commission. Wow. Are there any other appendages he could bite off of Jake Paul? Don't answer that. 855-212-4227, Bogush, thank you.
Referring to the ear, folks.
Yeah. Your memories of Bill Walton, we see you guys on the phones. You want to answer the question of what part of Bill's legendary life will you remember most as he's passed away at 71? So much more to do. We got an update on the 49ers for you as well. It's Maggie and Perloff.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod. That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Tunes from the Grateful Dead this morning to honor the legacy of Bill Walton, their biggest fan. Bill Walton passed away, 71 years old, was battling cancer, but had overcome so much in his life, Perloff. The injuries to his feet, the injuries to his back, and his just relentless positivity, I think, is what you and I will remember most, along, of course, with the incredible career as a basketball player and a broadcaster. We're asking for your memories and what you'll remember most about Bill Walton. And Andrea's in the Bay Area. She's in Berkeley. Andrea, you met Bill Walton. What was it like?
Oh, yeah. Hi, how are you, Maggie?
We're doing great. How are you?
Good. Hope you had a happy Taurus birthday.
I did. Thank you so much for remembering.
Of course. I never forget a sign. yes, I had the synchronicity and opportunity to meet Bill Walton. The Giants, the San Francisco Giants, have a Grateful Dead Jerry Garcia night every year around Jerry Garcia's birthday, which is August 1st. And it was just so awesome. I was invited to a special Triples Alley benefit. And there he was with Jerry Garcia's daughters just hanging out in the crowd. And I talked with him, of course, about his astrology chart and being a transformational Scorpio. And to no one's surprise, he was totally open and into it. And I remember calling him an inspiration of transformation after all he's been through. And like you said, how he's, you know, this beacon of light for other people. And he just, you know, he's born November 5th. 1952, Year of the Dragon, which is also quite strong. And he just had this very magnetic, intense, like mysterious, powerful personality, which is very Scorpio. And just his ability to transform all his health challenges and, you know, really be there for other people as well. And then if you ever got a chance to read his book, he had a book signing, I remember, later that year. It was called Back from the Dead. And that was really cool that he had this epic book that he also wrote. And obviously, you know, his credentials and all, how wonderful he was. And then he was a really cool announcer. So, you know, it was just great to see him. And, you know, he's going to leave such a void being this transformational person who, no matter what was going on in his own life, he would overcome that and be there for other people and be that beacon of light. And ESPN just reran some 30 for 30 episodes, if you ever saw that.
They were great. Perloff and I got to interview the director of that when it came out, Steve James, who's a phenomenal director. And it was a great documentary. And now I'm so glad we have it. And Andrew, thanks so much for calling and sharing that and the memory of Bill Walton and getting to meet him. And, you know, we learned so much about his early life, and then you got to, like, just sort of be in Bill Walton's world.
Yeah.
Which is tie-dyed and with lots of Grateful Dead memorabilia all over his home. I mean, unique guy.
Yeah, also that documentary left me with this image of him in that hot tub in the backyard, just really happy later in his life, at least seeming very happy in moments. I know he had a lot of pain management issues, but totally kind of came out on the other side.
Sean is in Oregon. You also met Bill Walton, Sean.
Yeah, I was in first grade when we won the championship here in Portland. And I grew up with a Bill Walton poster on my bedroom door.
Nice.
And, so growing up, I went to a couple of his signings. And when he had that book, that book came out like 8 years ago. I went down to the bookstore and got it signed. And it was a great experience because, like, the whole bookstore was full. Like, there was a line just snaked around the whole library. And he's like, you know, he's just really, he's a cool dude. He makes everyone feel important. He sits there and talks to everybody. But he made that book signing go, like, all day long. It took, like, 4 hours to get my book signed.
I bet.
Of course.
And I remember, you know, like, in only his third season in the NBA, he took Portland Trailblazers to their only championship.
Yep.
I still think it's the only sports franchise to win a championship their first time to the playoffs.
Oh, man. You know, that's a great point, Sean. And that was an incredible season, you know, painful for Perloff, which yeah, adds to the lore. And Sean, it was an MVP season for Bill Walton.
Sean, how good was Dr. J in that series, too?
It's not about Dr. J.
Well, you know, the whole thing came down to the scuffle between Maurice Lucas and then who is the guy on Philly?
George McGinnis, probably.
Okay. No.
No, I don't know. I have no idea.
Wait, Sean. That just went off the rails.
No, he's
honestly,
right. I'm embarrassed.
I think Bill Walton would appreciate that, yeah. Quite frankly.
Sorry, I didn't know who the fight was.
Man. All right, we got more to do. Don't move.
Oh.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.